I'm being harassed by a pigeon. Like, maybe now over a week ago, a pigeon just walked into our house.
Right.
Through an open door. The door was open because it was hot.
Okay.
And my mum shooed it out, right?
Yeah.
And my dad said, you know, that's a racing pigeon, because it had a little tag on it.
Uh-huh.
And his brother races pigeons, my uncle.
Yeah.
And so we fed it and gave it some water. My dad was like, oh, it'll just be tired. It'll have a rest and have some food, and then it'll fly off, right? Mm. We were like, cool. Felt sorry for it. Then the next day, it was still there.
What? Still where?
In the garden.
Okay. So did you feed it in the garden?
Yeah, we fed it in the garden.
Yeah.
Then the next day, which was Sunday, I was just chilling upstairs, heard a fluttering in the next room, and it had flown in through an open window.
Into your room?
Yeah.
Good grief.
Isn't that insane? And then...
And you saw it's the same pigeon, same tag, everything?
100%.
Yeah.
And then the day after that, it came in the house again, got into the living room this time.
Hmm.
And now, it'll just be... I'll just be doing something, and then... at the window, trying to get in.
Yeah.
All the time.
Jeez.
Don't know what's...
This is like the straight-to-video sequel to The Birds that they should have never made. This is just...
You're not the first person to make a Birds joke about this scenario.
But I am the first to have it recorded, so...
Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what to do. It was there when I left tonight. Is it going to be there forever? Is it going to die? Can it survive on its own? I've got so many...
Is it
unresolved question?
I mean,
this.
Do you know any pigeon racers? Because there's one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But my dad said that pigeon racers, the owner of that pigeon, would hate to have that pigeon returned to him, because if we take it to a pigeon racer, he'll ring up the pigeon racing authority, and the owner of the pigeon will have to pay a large amount of money to have that pigeon transported back to its home location, right? He would rather just lose it than never get it back.
Why does he need to pay? Can't he just say, no, you're all right, pigeon racing authority, I don't want that pigeon?
You're not allowed to do that.
You have to claim your pigeon.
You can't abandon your pigeon.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
No pigeon left behind.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm Jake Harris. I'm here with Stephen Flynn.
I'm Stephen Flynn.
How are you doing this week, Steve?
I'm good. I mean, I'm nowhere near as traumatised as you are.
Well,
you do look visibly shaken. Obviously, I'll say that for the viewers' benefit.
I'm covered in feathers.
Yeah, in beak marks. So,
how's your mattress?
Mattress is
good. We've been getting a lot of messages about the mattress.
Really?
No.
Okay. But would we have if we were a successful podcast?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, the mattress has been replaced. We are still unsatisfied with the result. Basically, we replaced the mattress with our own mattress.
Oh.
Tanya's mattress that she had from her dad's house.
Oh.
We voiced our...
Displeasure
to the estate agent.
Yeah.
Who then came back with a message from the landlord saying they've never had any issues with the supplier. And basically...
Go fuck yourself?
Yeah, yeah. No apology for the fishy mattress, so...
And no alternative mattress provided?
No, but I mean, at this stage, we didn't ask for one.
Right.
I should say, I didn't ask for one. I was on my name. Just because I didn't want to go through... I didn't want to get another fishy mattress, can you imagine? I don't want to have a shoal of mattresses, kind of...
So how does this mattress smell?
This smells fine.
Neutral.
The new issue is that I think it's got deeply embedded cat hairs from Tanya's cats, and I have a cat allergy.
So
I'm waking up scratching, sneezing, struggling for breath, you know, but it's comfy.
Do you think that you're just not cut out for having a mattress?
I think, you know, to be honest, the week that I spent sleeping on the floor when I had the fish mattress in residence, I think it was quite good for my lower back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And good for, you know, it was kind of discipline and rigour and
good
stuff like that.
Soul.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, we're all a little too comfortable, I think.
Mm. Yeah. And our back's too rounded.
Epidemic.
I've got a story of something awkward that happened to me.
Is it called your life?
Well, it's you know, it's symbolic of the entirety of my life.
Yeah.
I was in Lidl.
Okay.
And going to select a cucumber from the big box of cucumbers, right?
Can I just cut? Were you going to eat this cucumber at some point?
Are you making some kind of sexual innuendo? I was planning on eating it, yeah.
Okay, cool. With your mouth?
With my mouth. But as I arrived at the cucumber box, another lady arrived at the cucumber box.
Okay.
Right, so we were both looking in the box at the same time. And then I was just like, fuck, how do I normally decide what makes a good cucumber?
What are the features I'm looking for?
Yeah. And then I was like, is this woman going to judge me if I pick a cucumber by criteria that don't match hers? Will she think I'm insane? So then I was like paralysed by choice looking into the cucumber box. And I couldn't remember what I thought was a good cucumber. And then I was just like, really, it made me just think about the absurdity of... You do pick a vegetable, don't you?
Yes.
And what characteristics am I actually basing that on?
And then they're not even, you know, they're fairly standardised as well, because they've already been filtered by the time they got to the shop.
Exactly.
So the supermarkets clearly have a standard.
Yeah.
But you think that you have some sort of internal standard
exactly.
that makes you discerning as a consumer.
It is like you are trying to identify the most... In the middle, the most average cucumber of all of the cucumbers that are there. Plus, the situation was compounded by the phallic nature of a cucumber.
Yeah, and the fact that at this point you'd been there...
been there 15 minutes.
So, yeah, no, you clearly... Yeah.
And she was obviously thinking the same thing because, you know, she hadn't picked one either.
No.
Eventually, I just bit the bullet and I think, it's, you know, I just picked one at random.
Were you happy with your choice?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. As with everything from Lidl, it went off.
Oh. Before
quite
you...
quick.
Oh, wow. Okay. I suppose you don't eat a whole cucumber in one, do you? Exactly. In stages, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
I'm,
a shame.
I'm a single man. There's only so much cucumber a man can eat.
Well, you look at your skin looks great. So,
thanks.
So I think it's working
moist,
for you.
It's moist, yeah.
Wow.
But that was just the anxiety of recalling that story.
Very stressful.
And then, that wasn't the end of what happened to me in Lidl, because I went to... I needed some milk, and there was a man getting some milk out of the fridge before me, but he hadn't seen me, right? And the door was loose, so he was really carefully closing the fridge door.
Yes,
just completely obstructing me.
Right.
For like 10, maybe not 10 seconds, but 5 seconds, like a long time. And then, like, he glanced around and saw me, and he was like, oh, sorry, sorry. And I was like, what are you trying to do? Stop me from getting my milk.
You said that out loud?
Yeah. I said that out loud.
Oh, God.
Just because it was an absurd thing to say. It was obviously a joke. He obviously wasn't stopping me from getting my milk. It was just something to say.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, no, I was just stopping the door from slamming.
Oh,
he didn't. He just
completely deadpan.
Took it completely on the face. And maybe he was just on the next level to me and was trolling me back. But that really tickled me that he just didn't respond.
Mm. Yeah. So in conclusion, you can never go to Lidl again. Your Lidl days
that,
are over.
No. Quite the opposite. Mm. That neither of those things were the most awkward thing to happen in Lidl that day. I'm sure.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Lidl's
an
absolute free for all. So yeah,
it's a freak
I'll go back to Lidl with my head held high.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I had a running vegetable running this week as well.
If this actually segues from my story, this is going to be really impressive.
Well, it involves vegetables,
right?
Yeah.
Not scripted for the viewers at home.
Unscripted. Well, it involves vegetables and my blood.
Right.
Mm.
Oh, well, now I'm interested.
Yeah, so last night I was about to prepare a delicious burger for myself and Tanya.
A meat burger?
A vegetarian burger,
thank
a pea patty.
God.
And I was gonna slice myself up an onion and sauté them. So they're real nice and soft.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe a little cayenne pepper or something. As I'd done the previous week to great success.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was a little dreary, I was a little tired, slicing away my onions, and then I sliced into my own flesh. Which was not painful.
Yeah.
Because I'm a pretty tough guy.
And maybe it was a sharp knife.
And it was a sharp knife.
Yeah
so a clean cut, you could say.
Yeah.
And Jake can attest to the fact that I'm a tough guy because I'm wearing a sleeveless Metallica vest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Black Album.
But it was just, yeah. I just felt like such an idiot, you know?
Yeah.
Because...
And everything your mum had ever warned you about.
Exactly. And the worst thing is, a week prior, I'd been in some YouTube downward spiral, and I'd watched a video of Anthony Bourdain, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Telling you how to chop onions safely. And you're supposed to grip it almost like your hand is a paw.
Yeah.
So that the only thing you would do is hit your knuckles.
Yeah.
But I didn't grip it like, no, and I knew that, you know, I should have known better. Mm-hmm. So it was a really awkward cut. It's gone through the nail, as Jake can see.
Oh, yeah. That
pretty
looks,
gruesome.
That looks really unpleasant.
Through the middle of the nail, and I've bandaged my thumb.
I can't even see the thumb because of the bandaging around it.
That's too hot for a podcast, even. for an audio medium, it's too disgusting. But yeah, I just feel so stupid.
Yeah.
And it's reminding me of my own mortality.
Yeah, it might. I mean, if you can make that dumb a mistake.
Exactly.
It could be even worse.
How many vegetables away from death am I?
That vegetable cutting technique was actually told to me by Nick Day, friend of the podcast, whose dad taught it to him, and that's how I cut my vegetables now.
And have you ever cut your fingers?
No, I haven't. Look,
there you go.
All 10 right here.
Don't be stupid, people.
Don't be stupid, people. Cut your vegetables safely. I've got something to talk about, which
that's good
is going to make is going to make me seem mental and.
I think we've passed that point.
It's going to seem quite
with cucumber metrics.
But this is something that's been on my mind a lot recently.
Okay. Do you want to turn the mic off?
No, I want to get this. I want it actually to be in the public domain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, have you ever heard anyone use the word exponentially?
Yes.
Right? And they might say, oh, this car is exponentially better than the last car I had. Yeah.
Is that not the correct usage?
That is not the correct usage, and that's what my issue
your gripe is. Okay, yeah,
say,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, and or someone might say, you know, I don't know, the iPhone sells exponentially more than Android phones.
Right,
right.
Yeah,
that's not the correct way to use the word exponentially.
Jake is gesturing firmly right now to hammer this home.
Exponentially doesn't mean a lot more than. Right.
I know what it means.
What does it mean?
Does it mean that it continues to increase?
Correct.
So it's almost like you take a number, you double it, and then you double that number.
Yes!
And then it goes up and up
that
and up.
Is yep. Exactly.
By a factor
what
of whatever.
Yes!
Wow.
Thank you so much. So
inform, educate, and entertain.
You're not the correct usage of exponential.
That's our goal here.
So two numbers can't be exponentially related to each other, right? Because it has to be a pattern.
Right.
It has to be, like in your example, it doubles every time.
Yeah.
Right? Or you could have a pattern where it triples every time and multiplies by 20 every time. That is what defines an exponential pattern.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't just say two things are exponentially related. It has to be a series of things that are doubling every time, right? Mm. So the classic example is like a population of rabbits increases exponentially.
Right.
Because you start with two rabbits, then they give birth to two rabbits, then each of them creates two more rabbits, and so on. And that grows, that population grows exponentially.
Mm.
And a characteristic of exponential growth is it starts off like relatively slowly, but rapidly becomes really fast. Really rapid rate of growth, which I think is where this confusion has come from between just using exponentially to mean something that's much bigger than something else,
right,
and the actual technical definition, which is a growing pattern. Right, now let me tell you why I care about this. Because this error is permeating language, and I teach, for anyone who doesn't know at home, I teach maths and science. It's making students use the word exponential wrong,
right?
And they use it wrong in an answer to a question and lose marks for it. Most of the time when people use words wrong, I don't care. I don't care if you convey your meaning, right? But this particular error is making my students make mistakes.
Which reflects poorly on you.
Which reflects poorly on me. But like with stuff like should of instead of should have, I don't care about that.
No one's getting hurt.
I don't care about
it's
that
fine.
At all. And yeah. I don't want this to make me come off as a pedant. But I'm just getting it out there. Be careful how you use the word exponential, right? Because you're hurting the kids.
Stay safe, guys.
You're hurting the kids.
Yeah.
And on the same topic of me being a pedant, I'm proud to report that I recently sent an email to the Oxford University Press because I found an error in one of their textbooks. And I told this to a few other people, and they've also given me the same look of embarrassed disdain that you just gave.
Mm. I am squirming in my seat.
But currently, two things happened. Yep. First of all, they emailed me back to say thank you, so they obviously appreciate it.
Bunch of nerds.
And second, it was one of the answers in the back of the book was wrong. Right.
Right.
So there's examples as you go through the book, and one of the answers in the back of the book was wrong.
Okay.
That could be really bad for a student. They could have to spend like hours trying to figure out why they got the wrong answer, when actually they got the right answer and the answer in the back of the book was wrong.
Did you get a fat compensation in the way that you can get white hat hackers,
yeah,
who will find, you know, problems in a program Google's made, and they'll get like £100,000?
I'm like an old school white hat hacker.
Did they give you a butt token?
No reward.
Nothing?
No reward.
Not even a Sainsbury's voucher or something? No.
Not even a Sainsbury's. That's what you get with Oxford University Press.
Scumbags.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that reminds me of my attempt to do a similar thing.
Yeah.
And it was completely selfless. I was going for that reward. And it was actually on the Nintendo of America website.
Yeah.
On their Detective Pikachu page. I don't know how I'd got there.
I do.
But I was there.
You googled I want more information
on Detective Pikachu. Oh yeah, that rings a bell now.
Was it when you were looking for that phone background that you have of Detective Pikachu?
No, I actually purchased that background using my Nintendo points, which I earned from being a loyal customer. The loyalty was not reciprocated when I tried to help you out, Nintendo, so yabu to you. Well, I was browsing the Nintendo America Detective Pikachu page, and I found a spelling mistake. I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was very minor, punctuation or a double, you know, two ands in a row or something.
Yeah.
So I emailed them. I said, hi guys. I tried to drop my breeziest tone.
Yeah.
Because I was angling for some vouchers, yeah, you know. And I was hoping that I could maybe be mentioned on their Twitter.
Sure.
In the way that, you know, a letter from a 5-year-old gets mentioned and they say, you know, oh, we love, yes, and then ends up on Reddit. So anyway, I was like, hi guys. Really love my Switch. You know, it's such a great product.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was browsing your Detective Pikachu page and I ended up doing a bit of detective work myself. I noticed that there was a spelling mistake in paragraph too. Anyway, just wanted to let you know, PS, really love the Switch, you know. Yeah. Shame I can't afford any more games. Along those lines.
And
I got an email back.
Yeah.
Hi Stephen, thanks for letting us know. Here at Nintendo of America, we're not actually responsible for this page. You want to talk to our European team.
Not my job.
You want to talk to our European team, so you'll find them on their website. And I left my tail between my legs because they didn't give me an email.
That
to further
pisses
on
me off, right?
Mm.
You've told the organisation of a problem with their website. Doesn't matter. Why didn't the person who you got in touch with contact Nintendo,
exactly,
of Europe?
It's there's no website. Way to contact Nintendo Europe, yeah, as well. It's shocking.
That is very disappointing.
Mm.
Can we just talk about how you say Pikachu?
Well, now I don't want to say it.
You're saying like
Pikachu? Pikachu? Yeah, yeah. P-I-K.
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say it like that.
Pikachu.
Yeah, I that is how it's spelled.
Mm.
People say it like P-E-E-K, don't
they? What do people know? You know, people say exponentially.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
No, I mean, I missed a few years of school, so I don't quite have the standard grasp of the English language.
Okay. You're doing remarkably well, considering.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I've got lots of little tricks and techniques I use to mask my shortcomings. But to continue on the grammar route,
yeah,
I was watching a Netflix documentary before you arrived.
Yeah.
Explained.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
It's good, yes. Yeah, they're kind of like 20-minute micro documentaries talking about exclamation marks.
Oh yeah.
And how it's evolved and how now we use them all the time. We use three in a row, whatever, stuff like that. And there was a great statistic they were talking about. They were surveying men, they were talking about exclamation marks,
yeah,
in the workplace, and how if a female colleague sends, yeah, an email with exclamation marks,
yeah,
50% just about of men deemed it professional.
Right.
Whereas if a male colleague sent the same email with exclamation, yeah, marks, it dropped by a factor of like 20%.
So it's more acceptable for a woman to use an exclamation mark
and to seem professional. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's the interpretation of that?
I would draw that back to people, I don't know, kind of the stereotypes of women being more emotionally intelligent,
right,
nicer,
yeah,
you know, men in the workplace having to be hard,
yeah,
tough,
and I guess it
ball like, busters,
yeah, you could interpret a male exclamation mark as aggression.
Oh, no, I think it was the opposite. I think it was, you know, enthusiastic good morning.
Oh, right.
It was almost, it was, you know, inappropriately friendly, right, to come from a man to another, right, man, you know, so, yeah.
Tell you what I'm really into at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
2 exclamation marks.
Whoa.
At the end of, when you're saying something.
You really aren't a pedant, are you?
2 exclamation marks.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as extreme as...
3.
3. But more extreme...
Than 1.
Than 1.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
But this is, you know, your grandkids are going to be using 7 because it's exclamation using, inflation, isn't it?
They'll be using characters we haven't invented yet.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, my next question for you. they're making a Lord of the Rings TV show.
Wow.
Are you aware of that?
I was vaguely aware, yeah.
I'm interested in what you would want from the Lord of the Rings TV show.
Okay.
Like, what genre?
Mm-hmm.
What characters?
Mm-hmm.
If any.
Right.
Or what, you know.
Yeah.
Just
okay.
Anything.
So, I think that the first thing is you don't want to be a Thrones clone.
Which will be very difficult, but yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because, well, obviously, you know, with that IP... You can't intellectual property. You can't. You can't be throwing nudity and violence and you know swear
protected
words around. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you? I would want it to capture a journey for me.
Mm.
I would want it to be static. So for me, you know,
like the original trilogy of Lord of the Rings.
Well, I don't want it to be the same story.
But you still want it to have a journey.
I want it to. Yeah, I don't want it to be located in any one area.
Right.
I want it to be, you know, following people on a journey.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe some, you know, kind of. I haven't read the book.
Yeah.
But there's characters.
Who has?
I mean, I'm a loser.
A bunch of nerds.
But. There's characters, so many characters in the book that don't get a look in.
Yeah.
Or there's so much stuff in the Silmarillion, isn't there?
Yeah,
so,
the appendices.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we've heard enough about Frodo, Bilbo, Gandalf. We can get rid of them lot, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe even refer to them in passing as myths and legends.
Yeah.
You know, so in the way that God of War talks about Odin.
Yeah.
You never see him.
It could be set like 100 years in the future or 1,000 years in the future after the Lord of the Rings.
But I'd want to see loads of money poured into it in terms of like the sets and stuff.
Definitely. Well, so I think that thematically Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones are really different to each other.
Okay.
So I think it will be a mistake to try and make Lord of the Rings a
more
Lord of the Rings
throny.
TV show like Game of Thrones. Like there's it's not really about political intrigue and stuff in Lord of the Rings like it is in Game of Thrones. So I think there's lots of cool options, and I don't necessarily think having it be static would be a bad thing, right?
Okay.
Because you could, there's just so much cool stuff you could do. You could have like, you could follow, you know, like Aragorn, he's like a ranger or whatever, and he's like a world policeman type of thing. You could follow, like not Aragorn, but another ranger on like his journeys to sort of just keep, Middle Earth safe, and it's more like more of a small scale thing.
So he's patrolling a town or something.
Kind of. And like, you know, one day the orcs turn up, and one day someone's stolen from someone else.
Yeah,
I'm making it sound more boring than
it sounds so bad.
I think it could be. I'm trying to think of an analogy. But what, like True Detective? You've seen True Detective?
I haven't seen True Detective.
Well, imagine True Detective, which is an awesome, I don't know, crime show, crime drama. It's got a great like aesthetic. I think it would be cool to see something like that.
Wait, am I saying that wrong as well? I say aesthetic.
That's because you love ass.
Okay, so right, cucumber.
So yeah, I think it's kind of the same thing as with the Star Wars spin-off movies, which sounds like they have been cancelled now.
Because of
Solo did so bad.
Yeah.
But I think they were a cool opportunity to like set other genres of film in the Star Wars world.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like how you know how like Batman The Dark Knight was kind of like a detective story,
yeah,
set in a superhero like world, a
Michael Manny.
Yeah, I'd like style. To see more of that kind of thing, where like bringing other genres into.
Yeah, but what world. Genres would you look like? You know,
well, I've said
musical sci-fi.
No. Like.
I'd like a kind of Wes Anderson style kooky Tom Bombadil focused series, you know.
Whatever happened to Tom Bombadil?
Exactly, you know, where he's some bohemian sort of, you know, bouncing around from town to town, you know. Yo,
I've
scrapes.
Got a question.
Yeah.
If you've never read the books.
How do I know about Tom Bombadil?
Yeah.
I keep my finger on the pulse.
Is Tom Bombadil a meme?
He's not a meme. No,
I'm asking you.
But I know.
How do you know about Tom Bombadil?
I know lots of people who have read the books. Mm. Yeah,
And they're always bitching.
And they always say there was no Tom Bombadil. Where was Tom Bombadil? And I say, who was Tom Bombadil? And they say, well, so
because Tom Bombadil is like this god character.
He is. Yeah, he's untouchable. Right?
Yeah, and it's like he's so powerful that he could like fix the problems
but he
that
doesn't.
Frodo has, but he's also so powerful that he just doesn't care at all. It's irrelevant to him. That's how it's kind of posed, I think. Oh, that's an interpretation that I read. Anyway that might be enough about Tom Bombadil.
So lead.
Oh yeah,
you want to do the lead section?
Let's do our lead section,
just as a reminder, if this is or as an introduction if you haven't listened to the podcast before.
Yeah,
this is Leeds, spell LEADS.
Mm-hmm.
As in sniffing out Leeds for hot new joints, but and it's clubs
pun, it's
in Leeds,
you see, because we live in Leeds.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know how many podcasts the people out there listen to, but all the good podcast segments have titles that have to be explained every time.
Do they?
That was a joke.
Oh.
But anyway.
We should really do some pre-show.
No, I think that would damage the organic element.
You're right.
Right, so what have you got?
Leeds. Agra Buffet.
Yeah.
Yep. Garforth. Venue. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who was in attendance?
It was me, my brother, whose birthday we were celebrating.
Martin.
His fiance and my parents.
Yeah. I saw your dad today.
Did you?
He was cycling, don't know.
He's always cycling, isn't he? That guy. Yeah, it was tasty.
How did it compare to a normal sit-down meal in the Agra?
I would prefer a normal sit-down meal.
Right.
But I think this is to do with my gluttony, which is the
did
issue.
Did you eat too much?
I did, yeah. And I'd semi-starved myself during the day,
yeah.
But to the point where my stomach had shrunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of got that wrong.
The key is to drink a lot of water.
To expand yourself,
and
yeah.
And then wee it out, then you're ready to go.
I didn't do that. But yeah, tasty.
What curries were on offer?
I can't remember. I'd had a few
but
beers.
The classics?
The classics were on offer, yeah. And there was, you know, there was like a salad and vegetable section, and you could get, a couple of naans and rice, and, yeah.
Was that on a Sunday?
It was on a Sunday,
right.
Yeah.
Lunchtime?
No, it was about 5:30.
That's nearly tea time.
Nearly tea time, yeah. Early tea.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, so I would give it, what's our measure this time? Peshwari naans?
How many Peshwari naans out of an elephant are you?
How many? I would give it a whole roast lamb.
Yeah.
Out of a birthday party of 16 teenagers. So,
did you
interpret that how you will.
Did you go to one of our friends' birthday parties where he had a whole roast lamb?
I did. Yeah. Were you there as well?
Yeah.
Wow, I think we were sat opposite ends of the table. Maybe we weren't as close then.
On that occasion, that was when the birthday boy's girlfriend asked to be moved away from me. We were sat next to each other.
And you started rambling about cucumbers.
I'll try to explain to her why people use the word exponential wrong. And then suddenly she wanted to be sat in a different place, so she asked to swap with someone else.
Wow.
True story.
Wow.
So, I have been to a Thai restaurant in Leeds.
Oh,
since the last time we recorded.
Can I guess which one?
Yeah, well, actually,
you'll have to give
actually,
me a clue.
I imagine you can't guess which one.
Oh, okay. Well, let's forget that I ever said that. Tell me
Headingley.
Which one. In Headingley.
Thai Sabai is the name.
Okay.
And it's down near, towards the stadium.
Right.
A little family-run restaurant. Pretty good. Before I went, I asked one of my friends what he has when he goes to Thai restaurants, because I just always get pad Thai and I wanted to branch out.
Yeah.
He said you should have sea bass.
Really?
Yeah, Thai sea bass. And so when I got there, it was on the menu. So I thought, well, I've had it recommended, so I can't say no.
Mm.
It was a whole sea bass, so it came head on.
Wow.
And then it was on the bone, but it was easy to get off the bone with a sweet and sour sauce, and it was absolutely delicious.
Wow. Just the fish and the sauce, nothing else? Salad, rice?
I got some rice with it as well, like fried rice, I think. Yeah. And my dining partner, she had duck.
Yep.
Some kind of duck curry, and that was she rated that as well.
Did you try that?
Like you, she's a flexitarian.
Flexitarian, okay.
But made an exception for the duck curry.
Yeah.
Did I try it? Yes.
Yeah.
It was good.
Tasty.
Yeah. Thai Sabai, I would give it 3 prawn crackers out of a basket.
They do have prawn crackers at Thai restaurants, don't they?
I did have. Yeah. I think they might call them something slightly different to prawn crackers.
I'm sure I've ordered prawn crackers at Thai.
But they amounted to prawn crackers.
That wasn't culturally insensitive.
So, yeah, would rate it.
Yep.
Go and check that out.
Thai Sabai and the Agra.
Yeah. Hmm. Did you eat meat when you went to Uber?
I did, yeah. I think that was it. I ate about 5 kilograms of chicken.
Yeah.
Which was the issue.
That'll fill you up.
That will fill you up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we've had a Leeds experience together.
Together?
Haven't we, Steve?
Yeah, we do spend time together when we're off the air.
Outside of this room. we went to play shuffleboard at Brewdog.
Yes.
The Brewdog.
Brewdog North?
It's on the northeast side of town.
Mm. Is it North Street? I think it's called North Street.
Yeah, I think it is. Just over the ring road. What did you think?
I had so much fun.
I think we both did.
And this wasn't your first time, was it?
It wasn't my first
time. It was for me, but not for you.
I know you're mentioning that because you beat me at shuffleball.
No. I wasn't trying to segue into that at all.
Despite it not being my first time, I did lose, you're right. But no, it's just so fun, isn't it?
It's so fun. The thing for me is that there's... So, should we explain?
Lots of people won't know.
Lots of people don't know, if you come from small towns or villages, yeah, you probably... So shuffleboard is... It's a table with a long, maybe 4 metre... length block of wood inset in the middle, so that the table effectively there's a gutter around the block of wood. And the wood is highly polished. It's got a bit of sand on, something to do with friction. And you have 8 pucks, 4 blue, 4 red. And the goal is to kind of like curling.
Yes.
You're trying to get as close as possible to the end, because that's where the highest point scoring section
is. Without falling off the end.
Without falling off, because there's nothing to stop you falling off.
Yeah.
So the closer you get, the more likely you are to fall off, but the higher you'll score.
So you want to go hard enough to reach the end, but not so hard that you fall off.
You want to ride into the danger zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you do it against each other. The thing is, the person who gets the furthest puck in each round is the only one who scores that round.
Yeah.
But they only score for their pucks that are in front of the opposition's furthest puck.
Yeah. Correct. And you take it in turns to throw your pucks down.
Yeah.
So you could have a really beautiful first puck,
mm-hmm.
but then the next person could just knock it off.
Which I did to you at one point.
You did.
And I'm sure you did to me.
And the cool thing about the game is it's got skill, because you've got to be able to push the puck, but it's also got strategy in the positioning of the pucks,
yes.
and how you knock other people's off, or how you block them from getting into a good position. And it was just a really great game, wasn't
it? It's great. It's a great big game, isn't it?
It was a great big game. We only played for half an hour, but we could have easily played for an hour.
I lost myself, honestly. Yeah. I could play for an hour without realising.
We only had time to play one game, so we couldn't even do best of three. So it wasn't really fair. But yeah, really, really good.
So there will be a rematch. Yeah.
Like the Brewdog itself, I can take it all.
It's the Nando's of craft beer.
That's
isn't it?
A very good way to describe it. I think you said something similar when we were there.
I've become an insufferable beer snob since I went on a brewery tour,
it's corporate, but trying not to be.
Yeah.
It's trying to seem characterful.
Yeah, it's your friend, it's your buddy, it's small town. But it's none of those things, is it?
And the beer is really expensive as well.
Yeah.
You can also play shuffleboard in Leeds at Roxy. Roxy, whatever it's called, on Merrion Street. Which is, I mean, the shuffleboard experience was identical.
Right.
So
which bar would you rather be in there?
Probably just a Roxy, because it's closer to everything else.
Yeah, and you're on Merrion Street. Yeah.
And the scoreboard was electronic.
Hey, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So everyone can see?
Yeah. So that was,
not good for you, though, because got a habit of losing.
Humiliating. So that's shuffleboard, and we should do that again, actually.
I highly recommend mm-hmm. that. I would give that 8 pucks out of 8 pucks.
Wow. That's a good
perfect score.
That is a good score.
Like the score in the final round when I thrashed it.
Oh, I had a pizza when I was there as well. That was quite nice.
It was nice.
Yeah, halloumi pizza.
It was a bit sparsely topped, though, wasn't it? It was almost like a minimalist painting. There was about 3 yeah. slices of courgette.
Yeah,
maybe, 2 feet apart.
Maybe you're right about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But I thought
it looked good.
Halloumi, courgette, balsamic vinegar. I was vegetarian that night for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I've been playing No Man's Sky.
What?
Yeah. I bought it on Steam.
Yeah.
Because it was half price,
yep.
and I had lots of Steam
points
money. That, yeah. So I got it for free, effectively. Mm. And the new update's come out.
Yep.
Next. Have you played it, the new update?
I have. Yeah. I've played it as well. I've got a complete. I've only played about 3 hours so far.
Yeah. Did you start a new game?
I started a new game. So I haven't really gotten my teeth into it yet.
Yeah.
But it is noticeably better than the first time I played it about 2 years ago.
I have been really enjoying it.
Great.
But I do think it's still really broken.
Right.
And just incomplete and just weird. It's just a really weird
game. It's a weird game.
They've obviously got this sort of Isaac Asimov image of what space should be like and what one's experience of space should be like.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing where you don't understand any of the other characters.
Any of their languages.
Yeah.
Well, the idea is that you do in time.
I know that you learn the languages you go.
But it's a real grind to get that. Yeah.
Everything in the game is so opaque. All of the systems are really difficult to understand.
Yeah.
And I think they do better at tutorializing it than they did originally.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Because there's like a guide that you can go to on the pause menu.
And there's a quick menu now where you can recharge all your items and stuff.
I just think there's loads of weird, frustrating stuff about it. Like, I hate that you have to recharge your mining laser.
I know.
Like,
it's just a pointless loop, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm just starting to have a good time. I know I've got something that I want to achieve and I'm working towards it. Like, oh, shit, my mining laser's just run out.
Mm.
Oh, let's say my terrain manipulator's just run out. Mm. Right, I need to mine for some more whatever. Oh, my mining laser's run out. Now I've got to manually go up to a tree and punch it to get carbon out.
Wait, can you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. So
I had no idea.
I've had
there you go.
So many things like that where I've been reading other people's experiences about it, and there's been like huge things that I just didn't even know you were able to do.
Yeah.
So have you got a freighter yet?
I've played it for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
How quickly does it
take? Really soon. Really? In the beginning.
I went to a space station and I didn't have enough credits to save one of those robot-headed aliens from being undownloaded. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I then, because I couldn't do anything else, I walked away and I lost standing with that faction. So I feel bad about that. But I mean, I was thinking the other day of while I was wanting to work, an analogy for me. Playing No Man's Sky is kind of like being a bird in reality.
Okay.
So a bird in reality, it walks around,
you
know, trots around. It has simple tools. It has its beak.
Yeah.
It can, you know, peck at the ground, peck at wood.
It's got some basic motivation.
Basic motivations. It can fly, which is, you know, a dream that all humans have.
Yeah.
But other than fly and peck things, it can do very little.
Yeah.
So, you know, ostensibly flying gives it this massive freedom, but it can't, you know, order a delicious Thai sea bass.
Right.
It can't go to the Agra buffet. It can't enjoy Breaking Bad.
Shuffleboard.
So its world is so limited.
Yeah.
Yet it's
even
so free.
It's got these few amazing things.
Exactly, yeah.
It's otherwise,
which is like No Man's Sky, because it's really cool taking off from a planet.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun, you know, I don't know, changing your face so you're a different alien.
Yeah.
But
I made
like
mine so I look like a stormtrooper.
Cool. And that's a pretty common thing that a lot of people do, don't they? Yeah. Anyway, but how long did it take you to get a freighter?
Like, well,
just kind of curious.
I've played it for maybe 11 hours.
Yeah,
and I feel like I've had it for almost all of that.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, maybe I'm playing it wrong.
So, what have you gone to another star system yet?
No.
So, I think you need to go to another star system
as soon as possible.
Well, yeah. So, you know, you get the hyperdrive. You got to build some warp fuel.
I think I'm in the process of doing that.
Yeah, you get some antimatter. Wait, so I think you got to do 2 warps. and on the after the second war,
it appears
you come out of light speed, and there's a space battle going on.
Oh, I read about this.
And you've got to help this frigate win the space battle, and you land on it,
and it gives you the ship.
Yeah, the pilot is just like, I can't be bothered with this anymore. Do you want it? And when you get the freighter, it's really cool.
Yeah.
You can summon it anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
So you can be on the planet and just be like, oh, I want my freighter. Call it, and it'll just
come out planet's atmosphere.
Like
above the planet.
But you can see it from the surface of the planet, and you can fly up to it. It's got room for 6 ships, I think, so you can keep a fleet of your own ships in there. And so the freighter is your main ship, and then you can get frigates, which are smaller ships, and you send them off on missions
to like get resources or whatever.
So I wanted to build a big fleet of
frigates
because I thought that would be cool.
Yeah.
And they're like a million and a half credits around, so you got to work a lot for that.
Mm.
But you start off with one freighter for frigate for four. One frigate for free.
Right.
You start off with one frigate for free.
Yeah.
And I was sending mine off doing missions while I was making enough money to buy the second frigate.
Right.
Just as I made enough money to buy the second frigate, my first one got destroyed.
Frigate.
So it was just like, well, that was all a complete waste of time. I could have done literally none of that and been where I am now.
How was your frigate destroyed? Was it AI?
It can get damaged on missions, yeah. It can meet enemies on missions.
That's annoying. Mm. That's just totally random.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So that sucks. But I'm enjoying, like, finding out about the world. And so the best piece of advice I've heard someone tell me about it is, as soon as you're bored of a planet, leave it.
Right, because okay.
There's so many planets.
Yeah.
What it lacks in, I guess, features, it makes up for in volume of what it does have.
Yeah.
So if you're bored, just go to another planet.
But at the early stages of the game, I feel like I'm tied to the current planet because I need to get resources to do this. It's told me to dig up buried treasure or something.
Only quite early on.
Okay, right.
You quickly get over that, I think.
Yeah. I really need to put some more hours into this.
But yeah, I've just been having
a
loads of fun with it.
This is great.
It is like much closer to the game that I thought it would
be. Do you feel like they've done enough to redeem themselves then? Hello Games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what my feelings are towards them. I think the guy, Sean Murray,
yeah,
in the run-up to the original release of No Man's Sky, I actually emailed him to tell him, like, I'd felt really inspired by the way he spoke about the game, and because I was a software developer.
And that he'd made a mistake in the back pages of his pamphlet.
But it was, I think, he just got carried away with everything. Yeah. And
sorry,
said,
did he email you back?
No.
Okay.
And said stuff, like, there was something really obnoxious about the coy way he talked about the game.
Yes.
Where he sort of alluded to features without committing to them.
It was almost like he was aware that...
Yeah, and
so protect himself from being sued or something.
There's
like
a famous video on YouTube of he was on an American late night TV show.
Yeah.
And they asked him, like, so is there multiplayer in the game? And he gives some, like... And he was like... Well, you could say that.
Yeah.
And, like, gives an answer that could clearly be interpreted as yes.
But it's masked in riddles.
Gives legal protection if it doesn't.
It's like you could potentially bump into someone, but the scale of our universe is
so
big,
that's exactly
you would never
said.
Meet.
But actually, it turned out you couldn't bump into anyone.
Yeah, because two people were on the same planet within an hour of release.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was just so dumb on his part.
Mm.
So I think he was silly to begin with on that PR drive, but I think PlayStation, it was really backed by PlayStation,
yeah.
No Man's Sky,
yeah.
And I think he was just given too much more money and power than he knew what to do with, and status. But since that release, when it all kind of blew up in his face, I think it seems like they've really put a lot of work in.
Well, they've just been working on it so damn.
You know, it would have been very, very easy to just move on to another game.
Yeah.
Just be like, well, screw this, no one likes it.
Yeah.
But they're really committed to it.
Yeah.
And have improved it to something that...
Which would suggest, I guess, that their hearts were in it from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, to answer your question, I do think that they've redeemed themselves. Mm. And for £20 on Steam, I think it's well worth it.
Yeah. What about the £50 I paid 2 years ago? Was that worth it?
How much did you play it 2 years ago?
Oh, for about 10 hours.
Probably not.
No.
I wish I knew you were playing it though, because we could have done multiplayer. I'd have got it on PlayStation and we could have done multiplayer.
Oh yeah.
Apparently multiplayer shit, but
yeah.
So yeah, that's my No Man's Sky minute.
Hot take.
Really, really enjoyed that.
Well, I'm glad that we've resurrected it.
Did you watch the final of Love Island?
I watched the last 15 minutes.
I lost interest in Love Island so dramatically.
I lost interest about 3 weeks before the final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last week, I went from watching it every night. I hadn't missed an episode, and then I just stopped watching it. I don't know why, but I just, yeah.
Was it the fakery?
Disconnected with it.
Was it the fact that it's so managed by the producers?
I think that became apparent to me, and that bothered me. I think the winners were a foregone conclusion, Jack and Danny, and had been a foregone conclusion basically since the start of the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, like, it was all just too stable. They were all friends. Mm. They all got on.
Mm.
I don't want to watch some people just being friends.
You need a few more Dr. Alexes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just thought that was worthy of comment. Despite my original passion for Love Island, it really waned towards the end.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Like a dying star.
Yeah.
got anything else you want to say?
Off the top of my head, no.
Got any shout outs?
Any shout outs? Shout out to Trials of Cato.
Oh, yeah.
UK's hottest folk band.
Yeah, we were listening to them just before
we came in. Very good stuff.
Have they got any gigs on?
Not locally, I don't think.
Okay.
But I think new music dropping soon.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Wendy Fletcher.
That's great. I would like to say hi to Will's mum also.
Yes.
I
don't know why I said it that aggressively.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
So catch Stee on Twitter at Francis Flan.
Yeah.
Me
at yet to tweet
at some kind of J. I haven't been tweeting that much. I tweet this podcast out, and that's about it.
Yeah, you're doing God's work.
So if you have any comments or concerns, or you notice any mistakes in the podcast, please email me, because I'm a real stickler for accuracy.
Unlike Sean Murray, Jake will respond to your emails.
I will very gratefully, almost pathetically gratefully respond to your emails. So
that's goodbye from me.
And that's goodbye from me. Cool.
We'll edit that out.